sugar and hair remover. And we're discussing the hadoras of the mazik of esh. That we said, in order to be chayev for creating a fire, it means you created something dangerous, and then the natural force of wind will push that danger along and actually cause damage, then the one who created the fire is chayev. And we discussed last week, does it have to be a natural force, or there can be, the wind can be the human being element involved, unaware of him pushing away through a mazik. And we concluded that, in the case of the salt and the sugar, that it was sold as sugar, but it was supposed to be sugar, and it was end up being salt, and people put naturally that sugar that ended up being salt in their food and damaged it. We said, Roshem Zalman Paskin, that the person who put the salt there is chayev, because a human being can be a wind, based on Tosfos and Dabov and others in Baba Kama. But then we restricted that. And we said, based on another sugi in Baba Kama, then based on the base, that when do we say a human interaction can be the force, the wind, to mechayev, the one who created the danger? That's only when he is not involved in damaging himself. But if he is pushing it along to damage himself at the end of the day, then that now releases the one who created the damage from paying, because the end of the day it was damaged through a combination of the one who created the damage and the person who was damaged. He himself pushed it along. And therefore, the one who put the hair remover in the shampoo is released from pain, because the one who put the hair remover on the head was the one who got damaged himself. Masha en kein, the salt, the one who put the salt in the food was not the owner of the food, it was the wife. And therefore, she is consider the wind, and the one who put the salt in is chayev. Okay, that's what we saw last week. Now, let's discuss this case, which I threw at you last week at the end, and I'm going to throw it to you again at the beginning. We have a case where Reuven takes his wife out for a special dinner. More often he goes out to restaurants. He orders nice food, and he also gets, he wants to wash, so he asks them to ride bread rolls. He bites into the bread roll, crunch. Inside the bread roll is a piece of glass. It cuts up his mouth badly and breaks one of his teeth. He now has a claim against the baker. All the restaurants, all part of the same thing. And the question is the restaurant the baker who put the glass inside the bread liable to pay for the damages which was done to the mouth of Reuven, or not? Is it comparable to the case of the salt, where he said the one who put the salt in the bag is chayev for the damage it did to the foods at the end of the day? Or is it comparable to the case of the hair remover which we put into the shampoo bottle, where he said there's a release clause over there, because the one who got damaged is the one who pushed it onto himself at the end of the day? Is it comparable to the salt, or is it comparable to the hair remover?
It's much more like the salt. And the salt too, the person is eating the food, but we said about it, because his wife is the one that put the ingredients in. So here too, the guy didn't, he wasn't the one that put it in. The waiters or the bakers put the glass in. He's simply taking the roll and putting it in his mouth. So the guy with the salt also put it in his mouth.
Putting in his mouth wasn't the damage.
We were discussing last week damages to the food.
Put it in the food.
Here this week, are we talking about damages? Where's the damage here? What's your claim?
You're saying the damage is not the glass, and the glass and the bread's not damaged?
No.
Where's the damage? Okay, I'll give you another bread roll. Okay. Where's the damage? What you're claiming? What are you claiming that damage?
The teeth, his mouth.
The teeth, the mouth. So Reuven's claiming damage to teeth and mouth. Is that comparable to the damage which the salt made to the food, where we said the guy put the salt is chayev? Or is it comparable to the hair remover, where we said the guy put the hair remover, the shampoo, the bottom? What is it comparable to?
Well, you're saying because he put it in his mouth, it's like the shampoo.
No, you tell me. What are you saying? What do you think before I say what I say?
Well, there's many people getting these roles. They didn't know it ended up in this guy's hands.
So
it's not inevitable that he's going to damage himself.
We said to be wind is definitely negligence.
But to be wind, it has to be inevitable that that wind is going to.
It's definitely going to damage somebody. It
right.
Doesn't have to be damaged you specifically to be considered wind.
But the deny that the person can't damage himself maybe is such to such an extent that it has to be known that he would in fact, like the guy was stealing shampoo, he knew Shimon was the guy that was going to do that. Here, it could be any of the Bachurim in the yeshiva.
I'll tell you, it's different than the shampoo. Because by the hair remover, not realizing it was hair remover, he had intention to put that liquid on his head. He didn't have any intention to put glass in his mouth there.
Maybe you're saying something good. We'll discuss something.
I would be surprised.
Okay. So the answer to this question, let me ask another question. We said in the din of Mazik, of Eish, that if you bring the damage on yourself, that releases the person who created the damage. The cow ate the food which damaged the cow, releases the guy who put the food down in front of the cow. Yeah. Let me ask you an obvious question. Like this. Somebody digs a hole. And the person falls into the hole. And he gets damaged. Is the owner of the hole, the one who dug the hole, chayv to pay for the damages to the person who fell into it and broke his leg?
If it's Bishus HaRabim, yeah.
Bishus HaRabim, yes. That's the classic case. Wherefore, you dig a hole. Says the Torah, chayv for digging a hole. What does it mean, chayv for digging a hole? You dig a hole, somebody walks along and falls in and breaks his leg, you're chayv to pay. That's the classic case. Yeah, you do it in the public place.
You know that guy damaged himself.
So the question, why? You told me that if the person himself is the one who finishes off the damage and damages himself, then that releases the person who created the dangerous item. So why every bar, the person who dug the bar should be butter? Because I didn't push him into the bar. How did he damage himself? He was walking along, he fell into the bar, and he bumped, he banged his head. So he got damaged. Who damaged? He damaged himself. He finished himself off. So if so, then the one who dug the hole should be released. And of course, that's nonsense. Because that's the Torah says you're chayav. So what's the shat? How does it fit with the Gemara, which says you bring on the damage yourself, then it releases on the greater danger. Every bar's like that. What's the shot?
Maybe that's the killer.
Maybe when you know you're bringing the damage on yourself. Maybe it's only when you know that. How do you know you're bringing damage on yourself?
We said, the Gemara said, Darko is Lehazik. It's the Etzim Bor is there to cause damage.
Fine, but we learned the Gemara last week. It says, okay, even if something does, it does it, but you, the one who brings it onto you, and you damage yourself at the end of the day, you're releasing the guy who created the damage, dangerous thing, which is Dark and Azik. Very simple but brilliant question. Who asked this question? The Chazon Ish. Let's see what the Chazon Ish answered and relate it to our case. The Chazon Ish says, in Simon Yud Dalet Sifkot and Tesim Baba Kama Lichus. Meshun Tahabine Shlo Tachol. You got this klal, you're releasing the guy who created the danger because you bring it on yourself, okay? Pierce Toshes, Shom Meshun Tekivah Shanizik. Maybe a lotsman, but come on though. Love, shame, mazik alert. Since the one gained damage brings it upon himself with intention, then the one who created the danger is not called a mazik. V'hasam, love, mishnahu, ela, shayna, doma, labo. Love, mishnahu, sorry. V'hasam, love, mishnahu. He's not doing something strange. But it's not comparable to bar. Why is bar, you still chayv? The bar near to atza miskarva la bar, even although in the case of bar, the person himself is putting himself into the bar and bringing the damage on himself, of etzem hanafila, but the actual action of falling, eina barotzona, that's not what he wanted. And akacha, that was something which happened, which was against his will. Avo hezik achila. But the damage which this animal has by eating this dangerous food, he ups and maybe on there, mitzchilatzov, the animal with intention went ahead and consumes that item which caused the damage. So therefore the animal with intention brought the danger on himself and therefore releases the guy who put the food in front of him. Masha MK in the case of the bar, the damage wasn't brought on by the person falling on with intention. I'm going to jump into the bar in order to damage myself. He didn't do that. He was walking along, tripped, and then fell into the bar. So therefore the actual falling to the bar was without kavana to bring the damage upon himself, and therefore there's no release by bar. So it, intrinsic, that the release clause that we discussed last week has its only release as kama yu mechaven, the person who got damaged has intention. I want this to be by me which is damaging me. Like with the food. I want to consume this food and ends up being dangerous. So therefore he had kavana to bring the danger upon himself at the end of the day. Even though he didn't know the danger, but he had kavana to bring it into his mouth and consume it, and then so yeah, kavana that this should be in his mouth, and by definition that means it's going to be damaging him. And similarly to shampoo, he had the kavana to put what he thought shampoo on his head and not be shampoo, but he had kavana that this item which is dangerous should be on his head and damaging him. So it's chayev. Now shaking the bar, he had no intention to be inside the bar, he just fell and tripped, and therefore there's no release. So let me now ask our case of the Leicester runt, where he's eating the roll and he bites and he breaks his teeth and cuts off his mouth. Is that comparable to the case of the animal eating the food which ends up being poisoned, where we say you're high, you're potter, and it's a release course because you brought it upon yourself? Or is it comparable to the case of a person walking along and then falling into the bar, where we say there's no release card because he didn't intend to bring it upon himself in that stage?
Sounds like the animal.
Is it like the animal or animal, like the whole
animal?
He doesn't want to eat the glass. Obviously he doesn't know about it.
The animal didn't want poison either, and the guy with the shampoo didn't want hair remover.
But he wanted to take what
he
was
wanted
in the
whatever
bottle.
Was there. This guy wanted whatever was there.
No, he doesn't want whatever was there.
He wants bread. He wanted bread.
He wants the bread. He doesn't want the glass.
And the animal didn't want poison bread. The animal wanted bread. Okay, but we still say, even though it was poison, it was a different type of bread. The ingredients were messed up. But still, he had to be used to this glass. Poison glass. There's something wrong in the bread.
Poison is not part of the... Poison is part of the bread. Glass is not part of the bread.
Poison is part of the bread?
Yeah.
You normally bake bread with poison?
No, but if you baked it with poison, then it becomes part of the ingredient. Glass is an independent part. Nicker to end. Depends who the guest is.
He's two against one over here.
Yeah, what's my right hand side say?
It's like you placed a boar in the rishus harabim. You're encouraging the person to eat, and it's mamash mitzvah.
Yeah, everyone agrees. Agrees. But did you bring it upon yourself and there's a release course? Or do you not bring it yourself and you happen to be damaged by it and therefore there's no release course? It's like the boar or like the poison food?
Or you're walking along and you don't see it and you fall in. You're eating it like a normal action of eating and you don't see it and you...
That's what the animal did. The animal's normal action of eating. He didn't see the poison.
The restaurant wanted me to eat the bread. They put it...
Well, but the animal wanted to eat the banana. He just didn't know bananas are bad for him.
Right. He wanted to eat the bread. He didn't know this bread was bad for him.
The bread is not bad for him.
This bread was bad.
No, it's not.
It was glass. It was glass to do the bread.
You're combining two things that are independent. It's not that bread spiced with glass. It's bread and glass.
It's not nicker. It's very bread.
It's very nicker when he bites into it.
Why was the minhag of you put the banana in front of the cow? He's going to eat it. And you still have a release course because the animal brought it upon himself. So we're not interested in minhag. We're interested in, did he bring the damage on himself, not realizing that he was dangerous? Or did he fall into the damage? The actual falling was without intention, therefore there's no release course. So is it comparable to the falling or the bringing? So, you're outnumbered, and there's a reason why you're outnumbered.
Oh, no.
Because it's comparable to the bomb. Let me explain. Vimatis did a quite good job explaining that the glass is intrinsically a separate item just being hiding inside the bread. The person has a kavana. Has a kavana to consume the food that called the bread. In the process, someone threw a piece of stone or glass inside it as he's bread eating, and therefore there's no kavana to consume the glass. Therefore, it's like a case of bar. He didn't bring the glass upon himself. He was tripped, and the glass fell into his mouth. And therefore, the one who put the dangerous item is not released by the fact that he brought the glass upon himself. He didn't bring the glass upon himself. He was not involved in bringing the glass upon himself. He was involved in eating bread, and the glass happened to be there. Whereas the poison food is this food is food. And it's food which is now dangerous. It's not two items here. It's dangerous food and good food. You intend to consume the food, and you want to consume the food, and you do consume the food, and just didn't realize it was dangerous. And then you therefore brought the food upon yourself, and you had intention to consume the dangerous item. So therefore, there is a release clause over there. Hashem came with the glass, you didn't intend to consume the glass, you intended to consume bread, it happened to be glass over there, which tripped you up, so to speak, in the middle, and therefore it's comparable to bar. And therefore, the restaurant archive. So no release clause.
If the waiter accidentally dropped poison in the bread, then the rest will be positive.
Yes. That would be different.
I want to clarify that.
Popular restaurant.
We're not talking about we're talking about damages, not dangerous killings. We're not talking about poisoning somebody.
Radioactive ice.
Definitely also, and definitely if you kill the person, you probably find Misa, because I have different halachas. Hilchas Sicha has different halachas. Hilchas Mazik. But in Hilchas Mazik, you bring the damage upon yourself, then there's a release clause.
Okay. And there's no difference intentional or unintentional.
You intend what?
Negligence
is also enough to machayev the rest of it.
Well, the hair remover was intentional.
Right.
Hair removes attention and there's a release then. Now, let us now me ask you a question. Okay, so it's chayev. He's tired for breaking his teeth. How much does he pay?
Well, he's got to pay Shara.
Somebody's in the restaurant, he eats a piece of roll, a bread roll, inside it is glass, he cuts up his mouth, he breaks his teeth, and we said that's not called bringing upon yourself with the release clause. We said it's called like a bar, it's like a fire, and the person who put the glass inside the bread is now tired to pay taxes. Now, I'm asking at this stage, okay, damages, what damage? He broke his tooth, yeah? Cuts up his mouth. How much do you pay? What do you pay?
He has to pay tsar and
shevis. There's
no shevis, unless his profession is to drag
him. Maybe he's a professional speaker.
What?
When you break your teeth, what do you do?
For a dentist.
What does the dentist do?
Fixes it. Yeah.
How does he fix it?
Depends how badly it's damaged.
The damage.
The teeth is finished. It's broken. Yes. So what does he do?
Artificial tooth.
Okay. Is artificial tooth called ripui, or is it called nezek? Why? Look at the first number two maramaka. Why does it make a difference in ripui or nezek like this? Artificial tooth or chaver. A person who damages something. You can't claim damages if we've got no dayonim nowadays who are got smicha. Nowadays, dayonim who got smicha, you can claim damages. That is, what type of damages? Nezek, sa'av, ubakam, uboshes, ugofa. You can't claim that nezek, which is damage, sa'av, which is certain discomfort, pagam, abusha, embarrassment, or kofa. You can't claim that. Avol shemis v'ripui magbin. Even if you have a dayan nowadays, which we all are, all the dayan nowadays are all dayanim which don't have smicha. So all dayanim nowadays cannot machayev somebody for nezek of a human being. We can't machayev nezek of a human being, we can't machayev sav of a human being, because to do that we have to be dayon in smuchen. There's no such thing as dayon smicha nowadays. But we can do, says the Shulchan Aruch, we can claim ripui, we can make somebody, force somebody to pay for shevis, for lots of wages, and also for somebody to pay for medical expenses to repair the person's gets doctor fees to get him back well. So for doctor fees, you can charge somebody nowadays, but for the monetary evaluation of his deteriorated value in the shuk, we can't charge him. Yeah, what's nezek? What he was before the damage, what he was after damage, the deterioration in value, that's nezek. Yeah, like an eved that sold in the shuk, how much he is with complete, and how he is now without one of his hands. Yeah, the value of the evidence shuk has gone down. That's called nezek. We can't do that nowadays if you damage something. But doctor fees we can. So the question is, when this restaurant put the glass in the roll, and we said they're chayav to pay because they're not called bringing it on itself, because it's called tripping him up because he didn't realize the glass was there, therefore they're chayav, and he broke his tooth. Is breaking teeth nezek? And therefore, Basin haven't got the power to charge for that. Or is breaking teeth called ripoy medical damages, medical doctor's fees, dental fees, which we can force the person to pay?
Harm to the ripoy. It causes harm to his body. It costs a certain amount to fix it, and that's medical fees, dental fees.
Okay, so
you're restoring his ability to chew.
It's nezek. You're restoring his previous value.
Nezek
well,
is
good,
when you can't restore. Nezek is you chop off somebody's arm, and therefore you can't get the arm back. And we say, how much would an eved be in the shuk worth with the arm, and how much is worth without the arm? That we can't charge you. But ripu, which means doctor fees, to get him back, so we can. So the question is, when you break somebody's teeth, which you're chayv to pay, is that called nezek, which Mason can't charge because we haven't got the authority now, we haven't got speaker, or is it called ripu, that we can charge and say, yeah, that's
well,
just called ripu?
There's two
and
components. There's two components. The nezek, and like the case with the hand, you would have to pay nezek for the hand, and then you have to pay for prosthetic limb for ripoy.
Any damage to the human body is ripoy. There happened to involve a tooth, it was his property that got damaged.
No, any healing of damage to the human body.
Any healing, anything which happens to his body, sorry.
Any damage
that happens to his own body,
yes,
falls under ripoy.
Why? You chop somebody's off, hands off. It's not ripu, it's just deterioration of value.
There's a ripu aspect of it also.
There's a ripu aspect that you have to put the medicine, you're never going to get the arm back, but medicine to make the pain go away and then stop it getting infected, yes, that's ripu. Right. But the actual limb, that's called nezek, because there's no way of returning it.
So that's the same with the tooth.
So is the tooth ripu? Is the tooth?
No, you can return it. You can put an artificial tooth there.
It's returning the artificial limb, which we can do nowadays. Now may chopping off the arm and knocking out the tooth, the permanent tooth, now make it ripple to the fact that you can replace it or doesn't. Things have changed from the size of Gwala. We couldn't replace it. There's no such thing as artificial limbs in those Gwala. Cut off somebody's arm, that's nezek, not ripple. No way of replacing it. The fact nowadays that modern science says that now we break the artificial limbs and it gets an ability of putting false teeth, replacing the original teeth, does that now mean it's no longer nezek like it was in the old days when you couldn't do it? Because now you can do it. It's called ripple or not. The difference is, can you charge it or not? If it's ripple, you can. If it's nezek, we can't get involved.
Even in this van.
Very good treatment in advance. So you have limited, so you have limited. You have more, you have more.
Even in this Mana Gemara, they have prosthetic legs.
Well, I wouldn't call them prosthetic legs, but they had stumps.
No, it allowed you to walk. It was a wooden stinks. Leg. Yeah. So that would be considered ripoy.
Okay. So there's a type of ripoy you said, and even the type of Gemara getting one of these sticks attached to your leg.
Right.
So it was three pesach frank. But one of the abbeis of the Eidah Chaydus from the previous talk. What's the being a liar from the Ozerur? Look at number three. To this shayla. Sus echot asher socha Reuven mishim. You had a horse which was rented. Reuven rented it from Shimon. V'holkim mahalach beis yomim, and he went on it for 2 days. V'nitzah salora yirecha, and after going on it, he found that, you know, it started bruising up, there was a certain injury done to the thigh of the source, the horse. Behira the woman, and he showed it to an expert, you know, a vet, the tikno, to make it better. The tikno, and he made it better. The vet made it better. The Israebo, Shalom Rocha, but he gave him a warning, the vet. Made it better, you can't ride on it. Not for another, let's say I make up a number, not another, a few weeks, 2-3 weeks. Can't ride on this horse in order to recover. But he didn't listen to the vet. And he rode on it. It's not his horse, he's renting it. So on the way back, and it damaged the horse, the beatis, rabbis, at chodesh chodshayim ayosef. They can now no longer get better now for at least a month or 2 months. Verisi mixes a dayonim, and the Ozra says, I see a few of the dayonim, her own aruch and the potter, to say, yeah, he's potter, this renter is potter. Why? They say it's like Shabbos. It's only temporary out of action. Everything temporary out of action, which is going to get better at the end of the day, well, that's called Shabbos. Shabbos, you only chayv, you damage a human being. You never chayv for Shabbos of damaging an animal or some of his items. They're out of action for a bit. You're not chayv. Only if you damage a person and he's out of action, you're chayv. But damaging his possessions, his animals, he's not out of action. So, this, you damage, yeah, the renter damaged the horse. He's out of action for 2-3 months, and that's Shabbos, you're off the hook. Says the Zerua, V'chalila meloma dovazeh, Chas Hashem to say such a thing. Afilu shalatid nokesh obeis labim yodim. Even little children know that this is not true. And the Vadai, call Maka, any injury, Shasorak lehotzia lifroso, V'eina chosomes, any injury that you have to be involved in spending medicine, and it's not naturally going to get better, the queen of the sofa, the nezik goma habi, it's called nezik, upachas goma, it's called the deterioration of value, the osniflus when they have a kach, and therefore it comes under the category of nezik. Says no zerua. The fact that there's medical medicine out there that you can do to the person, which will actually get him better at the end of the day, or get the animal better at the end of the day, but without that, he'll never get better, without any medical involvement, he'll never get better, that doesn't come under Ripui, that doesn't come under Shabbos, that comes under the category called Nezik. That means that a damage as it is permanent unless you do something. As soon as there's damage is permanent, unless you do something, it's called Nezek.
It doesn't mean.
And therefore, in the case of those Zerua, he's chayv. Because that's everybody. Our case, where the two says, it's three best of rank, the two, if you don't do anything, will never grow back by itself. He's permanently damaged. So therefore, there's no natural means for him to get his tooth back. Now you have to get this medical science and to invent something as a false limb or a new tooth which you can invest, but you have to invest money to do that. Doesn't suddenly make it Shabbos, doesn't make it Ripui, that still remains Nezek, because Nezek means a body itself can't repair itself. So therefore it's not called Ripui, it's called Nezek. If it's Nezek, to replace the tooth, basically can't get involved.
But
we haven't got the authority.
But the Nezek and Ripui are not mutually exclusive. The fact that it's Nezek doesn't mean it's not Ripui. There's a Nezek component and then there's a Ripui component.
This means that components of pay for the false tooth to be implanted,
that's
or the
Ripui.
False limb to be implanted is not Ripui.
No,
that's
the loss of the tooth is the Nezek. Replacing it is the Ripui.
No, Ripui is only helping the body to heal itself.
How do you see that?
That's how the Ozerua defines categories over here. And therefore, you see, as the fact says, we can't, as based on, we haven't got the authority, we're not qualified enough in order to impose the category of Nezik nowadays, and this comes under Nezik. So that means the restaurants are off scot-free. They damage his tooth. Yeah, so it can't be the medicine he has to take in order to heal all the wounds in his mouth, the cuts, that's called Ripu, that you have to pay. But the actual tooth That needs to be replaced. He said, that's not Rippur, that's Nesek. Ah, they're off to the swap. So don't worry. Don't worry.
Why is that Rippur?
What?
You say the medicine to him is not.
Because you, the medicine will help the process speed up. And if it will just naturally heal itself. No, anything which will naturally heal itself, it just takes 3 months, 4 months. But I can boot medicine over there to speed it up, take away a bit of the pain and speed it up. That's called Rippur. But anything is, if you just leave it, it'll never get better. That's not called Rippur. That's called Nezek, even if you could do things to get it.
Someone's run over and because of that they need an operation to live. That's called Nezek. They need an operation to save their life.
Yeah.
You want to run somebody over. Yeah. And you set fire to their house and they're in there and they're damaged so much they need emergency operations, otherwise they'll die.
That's called Nezek. That's terrible. Rippur. You not only did Rippur to him, you did Nezek. But there's a problem. We're not qualified to do that. Why? Why are we not qualified as Dayanim to do it? Do you know why we're not qualified? Because we have to have speed. Why are we not qualified to do Nezek? Because it involves relating him as an Eved and working out how the Eved is sold in the Shuk and then working out how much he would be sold now. The fact that he's got missing that. So therefore we have no qualifications.
We're not talking about the difference in his value. We're talking about the cost of his medical treatment.
Medical treatment to make him feel better and help the body naturally heal itself is called Rippur. But medical treatment to create something which the body wouldn't be able to do itself is not called Rippur. If you're telling me the medicine just helps the person stay alive and then his body will heal himself, that's also called Rippur.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's medical treatment that he needs that the body wouldn't do itself. It's not the difference in his value before and after. It's medical treatment.
No, if he dies, you're telling me if he dies, that's called kofa. If you kill somebody, you're yourself tied to be saved, you did on purpose. Or it's Bishogi, you got yourself go to goddess. And as far as the value of the person you killed, it's called kofa. Yeah, we can't do kofa matters. If he does.
But you're not talking about it.
You're talking about no, you're talking about without the medicine he'll die. That means you killed the whole person. So you have to pay for the whole value of the person. So we can't do that.
So when you talk about medical treatment, you don't really mean medical treatment.
We're talking about where the medicine...
Well, it says Rippur, it doesn't mean Rippur. It means something else entirely.
No,
Rippur means... It doesn't mean a painkiller.
No, not painkiller. Rippur just enhances the body itself to be able to heal itself. So, no more. So, why did... So what can we do?
How can you prove that the body will heal itself if you don't wait and see? You don't know that.
We have medical experts that tell us. Don't worry, you're not a doctor. Doctors be able to tell us. Doctors can tell us.
Doctors can tell us. Antibiotics
Rippur
or
Nezek? It's Rippur. Don't Nezek.
People don't take antibiotics until they've got serious infections, you'll die, they will not have a
bunch of... We're talking about that. We're talking about it enables the body to be able to fight the infection, that's called it. What actually kills the infection itself, if you take medicine, it's not the
it
medicine.
The body yes. to fight. It fights the infection
no.
directly.
If it builds up the immune system, the immune
it
system
doesn't.
Takes up.
On the contrary,
you don't.
Antibiotics do not build up the immune
okay.
system.
It helps the immune system stay alive.
Viral inoculations build up the immune system, but antibiotics exactly.
Go and ask Denise. I'm sure Denise will evaluate. Denise is
I'm sure it doesn't. Okay. Antibiotics do not help the immune system.
In certain ways, yes. No, we're getting off the points. Now, let's get back to reality. Not factuality. And that is, we can't, as a Metzius, even Eretz Yisrael, be able to restore the tooth naturally. We have to be invested ourselves, and therefore it's called Nezek, not Rippur. Aye, Nezek's off the hook, but there's the Ramah. If you look at number two, the Ramah says, first he makes things worse, the Ramah, and says, we can't even give you any damages, we can't even get involved in Rippur. Regah, Veloi, Sin Nogin, Dak Mizab, but Lamaisa, what can we do? Rakkofin, Achovin, Lafayas, and Lip, or the Katsu, Vinir. What we can do, as a basin, we can force the one who caused the damage We can force him to make an offer of monetary value until it appeases the one that was damaged. We can't force him to pay the whole amount, but we can force him to give another monetary offer, which will appease the one who's damaged. And that we can do.
Based on what? What is that authority based
That's
on?
That's based on a tikkun.
On what?
A tikkun. A tikkun to get round the problem of everybody being able to muzzle people and get away with it.
So I understand the point that
to prevent them being able to use the get out clause.
According to the tour, if someone is chovel the chayil, there's no recourse at all.
According to
the tour.
You mean the shulchan aruch?
Well, he quotes the tour b'shem arash.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody has recourse if he gets damaged?
Nope, not halachically. But well, it's the Tekona. It's the Tekona, the Rosh himself says.
Oh, the Rosh himself says?
Yes.
What is the Ramah adding when he says Lekonsel?
What?
What is the Ramah adding when he says Lekonsel, Kifi Anira?
It's a perfect. The Lekonsel, Kifi Anira Lehem, a feed according to the Dayonim. Yeah, the person who damaged can't say, I'm only appeased if you give me the whole amount of money. We as Dayonim will have to make a halacha estimation how much amount of money is enough to be considered appeasement for the one who's damaged. Yeah.
Based on the size of
yes.
it.
Yeah.
And that's also considered a kanas, I guess.
Yeah, it's considered a tikkuna, which we're allowed to get involved in. Okay. Let's move to our second verse. We have a case from Silicon Valley. A partnership in a business in Silicon Valley.
I'm impressed that anybody from Silicon Valley actually...
And they came to Boston. And Reuven and Shimon are partners in the business. The business, what does it entail? Reuven and Shimon have different jobs. Reuven collects all the information of potential clients. What's their business? They match up people. People, let's say, want to buy a chair and he wants to buy a table. So they match up people. Ah, you want to buy a chair. You want to buy a table. Have you got a table that you can swap with his chair? Ah, you do. So therefore, my business is to match partners up so they can swap their deals. You can give your chair to him, you give his table to him, and both of you are happy. And I take commission in the middle. That's their business. Reuven, what's his job? It's to collect the customer information. Shimon is to work on all the connections, actually speaking to them, building up records on his computers, and all the computer system, which involves. Reuven and Shimon have a machlokas, and Reuven decides, out of his own back, without telling Shimon, that he's going to leave the business. And he's going to start off the same business, but by himself. What does he do? He wants to get a head start. So, he goes away and he installs a virus, a computer virus, in his partner or ex-partner's computer. What happens? Shimon then opens up his computer and the virus takes over and wipes all the information off the Shimon's computer and makes the computer out of action for a good month.
And the same guy goes to Boston.
And Reuven and Shimon are now in Boston. Yep. Shimon has claims. What's his claims? There is information I will never be able to restore from the fact that you created this virus, and it has monetary value in the market, and I'm asking for you to pay for that monetary value in the market of this computer information which you destroyed with that virus of yours. Secondly, I was out of action for a month, I lost business for a month, I'm claiming for lost income of a month. Lost income of a month. Now, let us analyze. What halachic damage can we put on Reuven that he did? What is he called? What did he create?
It's a mazik b'yadayim.
Is he a mazik b'yadayim? A mazik of Eish? What is he?
It's a mazik b'yadayim.
How did the virus work?
He put it there, but it required Shimon opening it up for
to get activated.
No, it didn't require Shimon opening it up. It required Shimon turning on the computer.
It's not exactly how I said. What they put on the computer. Reuven, the way the company works is that Reuven would send information to Shimon. Shimon will open up that email and take down the information which Reuven has sent it to. So this time Reuven sent an email with the virus in. Shimon opens up the email and that destroyed all that information and put his computer out of action for a month. So how do we define what Reuven did?
It's like the fellow with the glass, the deal.
It's Aish. Now, is it Aish which the one that got damaged brought upon himself? It's like the shampoo where he brought the hair removal himself, where there's a release course because he brought the end of the day to damage on himself. Is it like the case of the salt where he did bring it upon himself? Is it like the glass in the bread where he said he brought the bread upon himself but he didn't bring the glass on? And therefore, there's no release. Is it like the bread where there's no release? Or is it like the shampoo where there is a release?
Like the bread.
Sounds like the bread.
He had no intention to open up the virus.
He had no intention to put hair removal on him.
Oh, he did. He just didn't know it was hair removal.
He had intention to put shampoo on it. And we still called that
he had
the
intention
magical
to
on
put
himself.
The liquid in the bottle on his head. Here he had no intention to trigger this virus.
What are you talking about? He never had intention to put hair removal. But his intention,
no, his intention was
on his
to
head.
Put the liquid.
He put liquid on his head.
That's what he did, just
and
like the animal ate fruit.
And the bread, he intended to eat the bread, and the glass inside. He had no intention to consume the bread.
What was he supposed to do?
Both of them are doing what they're supposed to do.
The guy with the shampoo wasn't supposed to be using the shampoo.
Yeah, but that wasn't the release at the end. The release was because he brought it upon himself. Not because he's his own fault. No? Is it like the shampoo or the bread with the glass? The hair removal shampoo, which ends up being a hair remover, or is like the glass hidden inside the bread, where intentionally the bread and not the glass, and therefore it's not called bringing upon himself.
I was saying glass, but
it wasn't hidden,
he wouldn't have anything to do with it. Also, the hair remover is hidden. It looks like shampoo. It's green, just like shampoo. It's also hidden. Why is it hidden? Because it's got the same color, but it's not hidden. So what is this? Is this hidden inside something? Or is it in front of him, just he doesn't realize it?
When he opens the email,
he's got hair removal, but he doesn't realize it. Shampoo. Or is it hidden? Yeah, he's got bread, he sees bread, he doesn't see the glass, it's just hidden himself.
Was the email an attachment? Means he opened an attachment, and the attachment had the information he thought he wanted and the virus?
What?
Or just opened the email,
what's
already
the
had the effect?
What's the difference?
I think attachment might be different.
Why?
Because then he intends to download whatever's in that attachment.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't know a virus is part of it.
He doesn't intend that. That's a different attachment. The virus is a separate attachment.
It's one opening. He pushes open.
He pushes open and it triggers a command.
So, dude, make it decision.
I already said, I think it's like the glass.
Why?
Because he didn't intend
to open. You agree it's not the same as that case?
I said it's bidiyuk the same case.
You're not saying it's bidiyuk.
I said it's
bidiyuk.
You
agree there's a difference. That's just like that. What's the difference?
I don't agree there's a difference. No, there may be a difference, but no distinction.
The difference is that it's one thing. It's one email opening. You know, as opposed
it's
to
not.
There, we said that food is
two
different objects.
You think it's one, but you're actually
glass.
Doing two.
Here, you are opening something electronic. That's what's happening.
When you open up the email, you're saying, I want all that information which that email is bringing to come into me. I want to consume it in my computer. Yes? I want the whole thing to be consumed. So it means you want to consume everything that's there. Which part of the electric message is poison. Part of the electric message is
no.
Part of it is poison.
I'll explain to you why this is not true.
And therefore it's like the shampoo and there is a release clause.
No, it's not.
Yes?
It's not, because what you are actually doing when you're opening that email is all you are doing is issuing a command. The command that I'm intending to issue is to open the email.
And there's a second command that's being issued to open the virus. That one I never intended to do.
You're intending to open up this message. And this message
you can't look at it like that.
Automatically everything in it.
These are imaginary
the hello,
things,
the goodbye, and everything in the middle.
The message is an imaginary construction that you're making. I am issuing a computer command to look at this. To look at this.
So you're already agreeing. So you're already agreeing to me. It's not exactly, and you're trying now to have difficulty in explaining why it's not like that.
I think it's exact, and I have no difficulty.
Okay, so at this stage, we're holding on. That's like the shampoo and there's a list. Let us bring a chazanish. Chazanish, we introduce a new factor. Chazanish, in Baba Kama this time, Simon Chesiv got a test. It says like this. Maramoka number 4. We say, you put poison in front of the animal and he consumes it, you're potter. But Esha, the notion that if you actually put the poison food in his actual mouth and then the animal consumes it, then you would be chayev. Because even though we said you put it in front of his nose and then he eats it, you're potter, because it's not actually there, you need some sort of input from the animal to finish it off. That's koshka mebiato. Okay, so he has to pick it up with his mouth. That's called bring it upon himself, because you need some input from him. Abo benosin the toch piyah, but you actually put the food in, the poison food in the animal's mouth. Eshev the koshka and zamis ezik. That's not called. Now you need the input of the animal to finish off. That's called. You've already done the damage. The swallowing is not called input of the animal. It's not called he's finishing it off. So. And this is where we'll finish tonight. The virus, when he opens it up, is it like it's in the mouth already, where he said the animal actually swallowing something which you already put in the mouth is not called him bringing it on himself. It's already there. Or is it like the food in front of the animal, where the animal picking up is called he's finishing off and there is a release point? Is it like in the mouth of the animal, or is it like in front of the animal?
It's in front of the animal. There's no question it's in front of the animal, because the virus was on this guy's server. It didn't get to the other guy's server until he downloaded it.
I am very surprised at you.
It's in the computer.
You're not using logic. You're just saying just a fact. That's when you've done the damage. It's still a process of swallowing. Why is the swallowing not considered bringing itself on? Why did the chazanish say that putting it in the actual mouth, that's already...
Because he still has to do something to bring the...
But he still has to swallow
it. But it's already on him.
He still has to swallow it.
It's already on him, though.
In his mouth. In his mouth.
That's what animals do. It's inevitable at that stage. What does the word inevitable inevitable actually translate as? Why is it mukhra to happen? Give me a psychological analysis. What does inevitable mean?
There's a reflex for the animal.
It's like reflex. What does that mean? What's reflex mean?
Like the teva of the animal.
Well, no, now you're saying what Jewish words. I want to know English.
What do you always do?
Reflex. What's reflex?
Instinct.
Reflex is not instinct.
Automatic.
Reflex.
Automatic.
Automatic. Automatic pilots. What's automatic pilots? Like we double Shmuel Esther. What is it?
Without thinking,
Grant!
And that so you're telling me if you put food in front of the animal,
which involves doing the action without thought process, that means he's not involved.
An animal doesn't have a thought process.
He's not involved.
An animal doesn't have
he
a thought process.
He does. He has a limited.
Even.
A limited.
Even
yes,
when
he has. He has a thought process.
So if I put food in. If I put food.
He makes a decision. There is a such decision element.
If I put food in front of him.
Animal says, is this food? Is it not
that's
food?
Not I take it, They make the same decision when they put things in their mouth.
No.
They will spit out things that they don't think are supposed to go
yeah,
down there.
Yeah, it's a decision in that sense.
Even when it's in their mouth.
No, not if they already say that already saw the banana coming and it's in their mouth. They don't make any difference.
They will if no. they feel a tin
if
can.
If they will, but without feeling, it's automatic.
So the
no
same
decision.
But the
no
same
decision
thing,
to consume.
The same thing will happen when it's in front
no.
of them.
No. There is a decision. I mean, they look at it, analyze it, and then they
say, analyze it.
Right. So the question is, when you open up the email which you always get from your partner, is that instinct without thinking, and therefore you didn't bring it upon yourself, and there's no release? Or it's called thinking, still at that stage, to make a decision of opening it up, and therefore it is called bringing it upon yourself, and there is a release. Is it called instinct without thought process or not? What is it?
So
what is it?
It is instinct with thought process. Because if it wasn't his partner, he would have never opened the attachment. The only reason he opened it was he thought that
it
the
difference if you get
yes.
food from your wife or
you
food from somebody else.
You don't
else?
Think that the guy's going to
we say yes. We're suggesting yes.
We're
saying because is there a need for instinct? Is there a need for
no
process or not? If there's a need and there is, you brought upon yourself. If not, then you didn't bring upon yourself. Is that involved a bit? Is it? What do you say? I'll go around the table.
Total instinct. It's
total instinct. No thought process. So no release clause.
No
release clause. No.
There's no more instinctive than using shampoo when you're in the shower.
No. No. Release clause or not? Instinct.
It depends if he was suspicious that the guy was out to get him.
No.
If he was nominally prudent, every email that comes with an attachment, he will think, should I open this or not, and determine where it's coming from.
Okay. So, Marxist argues with everybody. And you know what? Everybody's right. Why? Because the Machlokes Dayanim. Some Dayanim say... That's instinct. There's no thought process involved at all. When you open up the email from someone you really know from,
what do they know about the internet?
And therefore, they know. Not, for Geras, for sure, they know about the internet. But how do they know if the Geras is a liar or not a liar? They look on Facebook. that's I'll give you a clue. Don't tell this to any Geras. They look at their Facebook. A lot of Geras are rejected because of their Facebook. They themselves don't look at Facebook. They ask someone to give a report. Now, that's a secret.
You hear that? It's a secret.
Now, sometimes you say, yeah, it's not thought process involved. He didn't bring it upon himself. There's no release clause, and you're high up anyone. You send a email which has a virus in it. The person who sends it is high because there's no bringing it upon himself. Sometimes you say, my Matis, that's no. Every human being.
Oh, all right, it's not like Matis, because Matis is not like
Like Matis, very good like Matis. That every human being, whatever he does, there's some sort of decision making. Decision making goes down as the process gets more convenient, but there's always a decision making process involved, and therefore that's enough of an element to call bringing upon yourself, and therefore you would be potter if somebody sends you a virus, then there would be a release clause in such an element. So it's a machlokes a dayanim in such a case, and be very careful when you open up your emails. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll carry on next week.
No, you should open them on automatic file.